What do voters do after their country is bailed out? We'll find out today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Voters in Ireland go to the polls today to choose a new government. The elections come just months after a bailout from the European Union and the IMF worth more than $100 billion. And as Christopher Worth reports, the results of the vote could reopen questions about the terms of that bailout.
Ireland's faltering economy has dominated the campaign trail and political ads.
A country in crisis. Average people paying the price.
Ben Tonra is a political scientist at University College Dublin who's been following the election closely.
I think the Irish public, first of all, is frightened.
Frightened, he says, by a growing sense that Ireland is no longer fully in control of its own economic affairs after being bailed out by the rest of Europe.
We have literally the EU and the IMF looking over our shoulders. Really, it's a cause of national humiliation.
Two political parties, long in opposition, say it's time to reclaim Ireland's pride and independence. The parties Fine Gael and Labour are thought likely to form the next government.
Both have said very, very clearly that the deal that was negotiated by the previous Irish government has to be renegotiated.
The parties also say they want other European countries to share the burden of Ireland's growing debt, which is skyrocketing because the Irish government has guaranteed the hundreds of billions of dollars poured into the country's failing banks.
It's the amount of debt that could crush this country beyond repair.
Peter Matthews is a candidate for Fine Gael in Dublin. He says the money used to prop up Ireland's financial system is also preventing losses at other European banks that lent irresponsibly to banks in Ireland. But as it stands, Matthews says, Irish taxpayers are footing the entire bill for a problem they didn't create.
Therefore, there's no moral reason why they should be forced to take the responsibility of repaying that debt.
His party says if it's elected, it will try to restructure that debt by forcing investors in the big banks to take their losses, a move the European countries that bailed out Ireland are adamantly opposed to. They fear it could set a precedent for a string of bank defaults across Europe. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
To Libya now, the UN's top human rights official is calling for the international community to step in vigorously after reports of mass killings of anti-government protesters. Today, NATO will meet to discuss possible military action, and European governments are moving to freeze the assets of Libya's leader, Muammar Gaddafi. He's suspected of stashing billions of dollars in assets outside the country. One of the places he's suspected of stashing money is London, and that's where we're joined by Marketplace's Stephen Beard to discuss this. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So tell us, who's freezing what?
The Swiss have frozen any assets owned by the Gaddafi family held in Switzerland. Switzerland is the haven, of course, for loot, dictators' loot. But right. Gaddafi had a furious row with the Swiss 3 years ago, and he may have taken all his money out of the country. The real focus of attention is London. It's the traditional playground for rich Arabs. Saif Gaddafi, his son, is known to have a $15 million mansion here. And there are stories circulating that Gaddafi could have tens of billions invested here in fairly liquid assets.
So, Stephen, what are the British authorities doing about that?
Well, they set up a unit to trace Gaddafi's assets in Britain. Now, of course, he's not going to wait around for his assets to be frozen, but they may effectively have already been frozen. Tim Daniel, a lawyer who specialises in asset tracking, says the British authorities sent out a warning more than a week ago to all banks and brokers and lawyers to be very careful about handling property with Gaddafi's fingerprints on it.
Although it's not a formal freezing of assets, I think that any responsible banking organization would think very hard before transferring any money out of these accounts if they knew it to be connected with Libya and particularly with the Gaddafi family.
The British government's taken a lot of heat in recent days, especially from the US, for having allegedly sucked up to Gaddafi, releasing the Lockerbie bomber, for example. It seems the UK now wants to make amends and stop the Gaddafi billions disappearing into the ether.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London, and let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia this morning. U.S. Energy Secretary Ken Salazar is expected to meet with oil industry executives today in Houston to talk about resuming deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. The White House banned the practice after the BP spill and said it would only lift the ban if officials had confidence another big spill could be quickly contained. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 37 points to close at 12,068.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
In Florida today, executives with America's biggest household products companies are wrapping up a meeting with stock analysts. Companies like Procter & Gamble and Clorox are trying to clean up their acts for investors, but that task is going to require a little elbow grease because of rising costs for the stuff that goes into their products. Our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports.
After the housing crisis, we may have a house cleaning crisis. Companies that make detergent and toothpaste are paying more for petroleum and other commodities. Procter & Gamble, for one, says its costs will jump by $1 billion this year. The good news is Procter & Gamble won't be passing on all of that to consumers.
I think you're going to see modestly higher prices on household products.
That's Lauren DeSanto, who covers Procter & Gamble for Morningstar. She spoke to us from the conference where analysts are fretting about the future of consumer companies. She says they can't raise prices too much for strap shoppers because they'll balk at $4 toothpaste. So Procter & Gamble will just have to make less money.
It's going to be a huge hit on their bottom line.
That will disappoint shareholders. But in the toughest position of all are retailers like Walmart, who guarantee low prices to shoppers. That's a hard promise to keep these days. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
And finally to San Francisco, where snow is in the forecast today. To give you a sense of how unusual that is, consider the fact that it has only snowed 3 times in the last 120 years. Now, we know California is a state that's in a lot of budget trouble, so here's an idea. Skiing on Lombard Street. You can use those trolleys as ski lifts. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You've been to a movie lately? Have you noticed something missing in the trailers?
I really think the voiceover became almost a parody of itself, where it's just so easy to spot it and get distracted by it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Voiceovers as a thing of the past. We'll have that, today's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.